billed cuckoos back to rain crows, calling out before a storm. Great-horned owls back to cat owls because of those feather tufts that look like ears. And juncos that arrive in the fall back to snowbirds. In other words, my grandmother had her own ornithology, her own names for birds. I have mine. Each of us can build our own ornithology and our personal names for these creatures. Keep it simple. What stands out to you about these birds? Once you have a name that means something to you, you'll never forget it.
Diverse, independent, yours. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC.
This is Reverend Billy from Earth Riot Radio. Welcome. We have been on the road. I say we, Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. We've been on the road opening for Neil Young and Crazy Horse. And a few hours ago, word came that the Canadian and some United States dates out west, basically the second half of the tour, 13 dates, that second part of the tour is postponed. To our disappointment, Neil called and was graceful about this. He's the leader of this community. Some, 50, 60 people traveling along the interstates together, all of us with different jobs. He took responsibility, and basically he said everyone must be healthy for this to work. And he was talking specifically about a member of the Crazy Horse Band. And yes, the heart of the horse must be strong with a regular beat. The Love Earth Tour is the name of the tour, and it's an extraordinary experiment invented by Neil Young and his partner, Daryl Hannah. They are reinventing the idea of the rock concert, one of our central pop culture rituals. They're creating a duet between human justice and earth justice, human music and earth music. And I'd just like to tell you this little story, a little hypothetical story. If you put 1,000 tiny microphones into a forest, into the bark and nests and under the forest floor, and then you listen on the headphones, you will hear 1,000 songs. The earth is alive with music. All life sings. Neil has earthy imagery throughout his songs, rivers and birds and wind and flowers, and because it goes back to the beginning of his songwriting life. But gradually over the years, he has extended into, with his songs, he never stops singing and making songs, but he's been coming into direct action on the ground. I'm thinking especially of Farm Aid, which is now something on the order of 40 years old annually. Neil and Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, and Dave Matthews have invited people together. It's very popular. And people are coming to the defense of the family farmer. Now, I'm from out there, Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota, Wisconsin. I lived in all those states. And the corporate farmers are attacking the corporate, well, the corporations are attacking the farmers. I think that's the most accurate way to put it. And the corporate farming is chemicalized. It's industrial agriculture. It responds to money-making and uses a lot of the wrong kind of fertilizer and herbicide. And a lot of the people who work for corporate farmers are suffering from cancer. And so Neil and Daryl Hannah, his partner, paid special attention to the struggle against Monsanto and Bayer by victims of their herbicide Roundup. And I'd like to play for you now Mother Earth, which was debuted, I believe, on the Farm Aid stage in 1990, but recently reappeared on a new album, really beautiful album, called Before and After. Here it is, Mother Earth.
I'm so proud to be part of Farm Aid. I'm so happy all your people came here. I'd like to do a song for my mother.
First part of the Love Earth tour took place in 1 month, the month of May, just a month ago. 15 cities in 30 days. Woo! That's city travel, city travel, city get on the bus, city get on the bus, amphitheater, sea of people. You know, do your thing, bow, get on the bus. Neil and Crazy Horse were booming out to 15 or 20,000 people every night. And then we, of course, introduced them. We had the half-hour lead-up, the opening act, and we were explaining the idea of the Love Earth Tour. Now, there's another side that explains and that is the village. Neil appeals directly to local activists in whatever city he sings in through his friend, Charis Ford, who finds the most effective activists defending animals and plants and ecosystems and invites them to, well, the village is seven bright green shade structures, tents that are open, and you can set up a table and signs and music and whatever you need to present what you do in your activism. The eco workers are in the village, and the village is always situated between the parking lot where you parked your car or where you got off the train, whatever path you had to take to get to your empty seat. Usually you have to walk through the village. So it's a heavy logistical lift for Charis Ford and his partner Dulcie Ford, and there's some caches. It's a family affair there, friends of Neil and Daryl, and they gather the activists and make the people who have bought tickets walk the gauntlet of their local Earth Defenders, get to know them better. So I would like to offer now next this recording of Belcris Turan, mother of Manuel Turan, known affectionately as Tortuguita. We're talking Atlanta now, the proposed site of the university boot camp for militarized police called Cop City. We are very much activists opposing this Cop City, and of course Tortuguita was murdered by police, and Belcris was there with her table in the village when we performed. We sang to her, and there were the polar bears from the Center for Biological Diversity. They sang too. We all danced and hugged her, and she hugged us, and she stayed for the show. And here is a speech from Belcris.
One of the things that Manuel taught me, he was unconditional love. Unconditional love. So, as a mother, I was learning to accept them as he was, since he was a small baby. Like this baby here from India. We have to accept them as they are. We are here to guide them, to provide tools for them, but not to force them to believe what we believe. They have their own purpose in life, and it's our project as parents to help them. And I think I did my best. I invest a lot of energy, attention, caring, talking to them. And I am very proud of them. I'm very proud of Manuel. Manuel, all of you that are coming to me and tell me what Manuel was giving to them, talking to them, being with them in such a special way, I am very proud.
And our group, Reverend Billy and the Stop Shop and Choir, are the entertainment version of the village, because we are arrest-risking activists ourselves, as is Daryl Hannah, don't forget. As we walk into the stage lights, we talk and sing to the sea of Neil fans, communicating directly with them about how to, quote, start up your own earth activism, end quote. Our half hour is a coaching effort, really, and then with inspiring songs, getting people to their own direct action. And the whole half hour is designed and directed by Savitri D, my partner. And she prepared a wonderful half hour that has helped the whole night and strengthens the earth imagery that we hear in Neil's lyrics. We're just grateful to be chosen for this role. Savitri's idea is to enlist this vast audience into the Earth's revolution on the spot. And we start our talk and our singing by just saying to everybody, aren't we all aware that we are in mortal danger from the pollution, from the climate violence, and we just don't know what's about to happen? The major institutions are not helping. Don't we all feel this? And we just wait until everybody in some way agrees with us, and then we start singing Earthalluja.
Earthalluja.
Got my life, this body. I got my body, got my life, this body. I got my body, got my life, this body. I got my body, I got my body, I got my body. Thrill to it, feel to it, real to it, earth to it, on the earth to it, worth to it, here and there to it, space to it, place to it,
do it, do it, do it, do it.
Real to it, feel to it, real to it, earth to it, on the earth to it, worth to it, here and there to it.
All this bacon to it.
Do it, do it, do it, do it. Shine to it. Shine to it.
Throw a line to it.
Shine to it.
Nothing left to drink to it.
Money to it.
Money to it.
And game to it.
We're flying to planet Mars to it.
Star space wars to it.
Screw to it. Pump big fist to it.
Humankind to it. Make me glide to it. Do it, do it, do it.
I got my body.
I
got my body.
Got my life, this body. I got my body. I got my body. Got my life, this body. I got my body. I got my body. I got my body.
Hello. Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Painted lady butterflies are known to make long journeys across land, but for the first time ever, scientists have shown they're also capable of making nonstop flights across oceans, having mapped the insects migrating 2,610 miles across the Atlantic. Researcher Gerard Talavera spotted several painted lady butterflies on a beach in French Guiana for the first time in 2013. Subsequent DNA testing showed the specimens on the beach were related to populations in Europe and Africa. They also DNA tested grains of pollen found on the butterflies, which turned out to be from plants that are only found in the Sahel region of Africa, suggesting they had indeed flown across the Atlantic Ocean. But using a novel technique called isotope-based geolocation, the team discovered the insect's journey may not have begun there. The painted lady butterflies reach South America from West Africa, flying more than 2,500 miles over the Atlantic, explained study co-author Clement Bataille in a statement. But their journey could have been even longer, starting in Europe and passing through three continents, implying a migration of 4,350 miles or more. This is an extraordinary feat for such a small insect. It turns out that in the time preceding the discovery of the butterflies in French Guiana, there had been sustained favorable wind currents from Africa across the Atlantic. This meant that the butterflies would have been able to make a nonstop journey over the ocean in around 5 to 8 days. Despite their incredible 200-mile-per-hour vertical speeds, peregrine falcons are no match for the common swift when it comes to regular wing-powered flight. During courtship displays, known as screaming parties, these small birds live up to their names by accelerating to their top speed, with the fastest ever recorded flight being 69.3 miles per hour. While this is the highest speed to have been reliably measured in a bird in level flight, it is widely thought that the white-throated needletail, a relative of the common swift, may be able to go much faster, with unconfirmed reports suggesting a top speed of 105 miles per hour. The title of fastest animal in level flight actually belongs to a mammal. The Brazilian free-tailed bat can fly 99.5 miles per hour. When neuroscientists think about the strategy an animal might use to carry out a task, like finding food, hunting prey, or navigating a maze, they often propose a single model that lays out the best way for the animal to accomplish the job. But in the real world, animals, including humans, may not use the optimal way, which can be resource intensive. Instead, they use a strategy that's good enough to do the job, but takes a lot less brain power. New research sets out to better understand the possible ways an animal could successfully solve a problem beyond just the best strategy. The work shows there is a huge number of ways an animal can accomplish a simple foraging task. It also lays out a theoretical framework for understanding these different strategies, how they relate to each other, and how they solve the same problem differently. Some of these less than perfect options for accomplishing a task work nearly as well as the optimal strategy, but with a lot less effort, freeing up animals to use precious resources to handle multiple tasks. Astronomers believe that at the heart of most, if not all, galaxies sits a titanic black hole with a mass that is millions or even billions of times that of our sun. These supermassive black holes cannot be directly created through the collapse of a massive star, as is the case with stellar mass black holes, with masses tens of times that of the sun, as no star is large enough to birth such a huge object. This means there must be processes that allow black holes to grow to such tremendous masses. While the consumption of gas and dust and even stars around black holes can facilitate this growth, a quicker avenue for piling on mass is a chain of mergers of successively larger and larger black holes. A paper published in Astroparticle Physics details how some daughter black holes created in such mergers could carry information about the parent black holes that collided to create them. We find that black holes that are born from the collision of other black holes carry information with them about the properties of their ancestors, including the ancestors' spin as well as their mass, the study says. The key new focus of our research is the reconstruction of the spins of ancestral black holes. Humanity is upping the stakes on its deadly game of nuclear poker once again. The world spent a combined total of 913934044739 on nuclear weapons in 2023. That's around $250 million each day, $173,884 per minute, or $2,898 a second. Nine countries possess nuclear weapons: the US, Russia, France, China, the UK, Pakistan, India, Israel, and North Korea. And all of them increased the amount of money they put into their atomic arsenals last year. 2023 spending is $10.7 billion higher than in 2022, a trend that was primarily driven by the U.S., which accounted for 80% of the surge. Last year, the North American superpower spent more than all the other nuclear-armed countries put together, with a total expenditure of $51.5 billion. All of this data comes from a new report by the Nobel Peace Prize-winning group International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, ICAN, who described the lavish spending as an unacceptable misallocation of public funds. And now, the sounds of extinction, the Great Nile Migration. Around 6 million antelope have been recorded on a trek across East Africa, marking the world's largest land mammal migration ever recorded. Between April and May 2023, after the first rains of the season, planes were used to carry out an extensive aerial survey of the Boma-Badenkilo-Jonglei landscape in the east of South Sudan, documenting the migration of roughly 5 million white-eared cob, 300,000 tiang, 350,000 Mongala gazelle, and 160,000 Bahor reedbucks. Along with the antelopes, the survey noted how elephants, giraffes, lions, and cheetah populations have persisted in the area. Likewise, there are still massive populations of large birds, including open-billed stork, woolly-necked stork, black-crowned cranes, herons, and several species of vultures. And hear the sound of the antelope migration.
Love Earth will sing and love on and on. It's like a religion for survival. In 2024, all our measurements, sea rise, heat waves, polar ice melt, wind speed, the deaths by disasters, however you measure it, it's off the charts. It's a transformational time that the big old established institutions just don't want to see. They don't seem to notice it. But they will be overwhelmed when our audiences march on the oil refineries and we'll be singing a song. Thank you, everyone. Earthalluja.
Trade away our children's days. Respect Mother Earth and her healing ways, or trade